Welcome to the end of the month and therefore another book review. So I put out some feelers a while back asking people what they would like me, or books they would like me to review. And one of them was The Flying Witches of Veracruz by James Endredi. Now, I don't think there's really a hell of a lot I can say about this book in reference to practicality. This is a very interesting book to read if you do enjoy reading about the various Native American practices. But from a practical point of view, from the perspective of, is there anything you can practically take from this book and put into practice in your own workings? No, absolutely not. It is very much about the brujas or brujeria within the Mexican traditions that focus a lot on, well, this book specifically focuses a lot on Datura, and as basically a flying ointment. But even at the same time, there's mention of Datura. And the preparation of it and the application of it, but it doesn't really go into much detail. I mean, from this, if you try and take information from this to apply to an actual practice, you'll probably end up mad or dead. So definitely don't do that. But yeah, there's kind of like a mention of it. There's a couple chapters where they talk about applying it and actually doing the flying and everything else, but the rest of it's really just interesting stories that this guy actually experienced. It's a bit of a kind of a biography of what he experienced within the tradition, within the past themselves. And yeah, I don't really, as I said, there's not really a lot of practicality to take from it. Let me just actually switch over to the book itself. So this is the book. You can find it on archive.org. If you go there, Internet Archive, you can borrow the book for an hour or however long you need. I think this is just an hour. Let me just check. I've already borrowed it, so I can't really check now. I've just borrowed it for an hour, so I can do the review. There were a couple things that I kind of highlighted. So let me actually just go through those. Let's have a look. Page, I think that's page 10. No, obviously not page 10. Oh, about the author, yes, about the author. Let me just see what I noted here. Oh, he does talk about Victor Sanchez being a great author and teacher. So there's going to be a lot of Grandfather Fire and Toltec Warrior Path practice within his writings, which I did notice. I didn't only just read this one, I read another one of his books to see if I could get a better feel of who he is and what he does. So there were some, I'm going to go into that one also. Another thing that he mentions, which I found a little bit strange, there were some things I did find a bit strange, his use of terminology, especially shaman, and such things like that. Wait, I went too far. Here he mentions Wiccans and shamans believe in and work with the good forces of nature. This can definitely be debated, especially, if I think if you look into core shamanism, there is that focus on the good spirits. But if you actually go into traditional shamanism, that's very, very different. And again, coming back to terminology, he switches between shaman, bruja, curandera, and all of these different terminologies. If you speak to most Native American people, medicine men, or whatever terminology they specifically use, they are definitely steering away from the use of shaman and shamanism because it really doesn't relate to their own practices. Well, it does in a general sense, but etymologically, it's I think they're trying to steer away from it because it's becoming too westernized. And James Andretti is a Western man. He's a white guy. In this specific book, He gets referred to as the gringo, the white guy who's practicing these Mexican practices. But he gets accepted. I think this is the difficult part, is this cultural appropriation? Do we come back to that? In terms of whether this relates to something like, what was it now? Michael Honer, The Way of the Shaman, and such things, and his courses, and the amounts of money he made from shamanism itself and the practices and teaching shamanism, which again was largely a Native American practice that he was tapping into. A lot of people say that that is cultural appropriation, and I kind of tend to agree. Can we call this cultural appropriation? I think very much, because it's a very, very similar thing. I mean, he's really using the word shamanism in that context of generalization. At the end of the other book I read was Advanced Shamanism. Interesting book again, but I'll get into more specifics just now. But at the end of that book, he does start talking about how, like if you can't really call yourself a shaman until a community has labeled you that. But throughout his books, he's talking about becoming a shaman just by doing specific practices, and it kind of contradicts itself at the end of the day. So I find this writer is very knowledgeable. What he writes about is extremely interesting. You can definitely glean a lot of information from it. But just bear in mind that, there may be that crossing of boundaries between for across to cultural appropriation. He doesn't like to label himself as that. When you read Advanced Shamanism, that becomes apparent. But I think he is doing very similar things. I mean, he basically says that he is not appropriating, or he does not do these practices, whereas other authors, he doesn't cross that line, whereas other authors do. He says that because when he started doing this, he wasn't an author. Well, whenever any of these people started doing this, they were not authors. They went to go and do research and such things, and then they started writing about it, and then started practicing it, and then started, teaching it and making money off it, where that's when the cultural appropriation part comes in. So anyway, I don't want to poo-poo on this guy too much. He is a good author. He is a great, he's a good practitioner. But at the same time, I'm not really sure he's like the be-all and end-all. As I said, in this book, Flying Witches of Veracruz, it's great stories. It's fantastic stories. It's wonderful. Some of the things he writes about, you're kind of going to go, really? Is that something that can really happen? And when you read other books of the same nature, you kind of start asking the same questions. So yes, probably. Did this particular person experience those things? I have no idea. I cannot confirm them. I cannot deny them. They just become interesting stories, but there's really not much practicality you can take out of this. Let's just have a look. I'll just make some other notes here. Or highlighted some places. Oh, he does mention on page 20. Let me just go here. It's on page 20. Let me just see if I can find it. Moreover, the ritual use of Datura was something I had never before encountered in over 20 years of traveling throughout Mexico and living with various indigenous groups. Now, he's previously stated that Victor Sanchez is one of his teachers, and he's a great teacher and everything else, and follows the Toltec warrior path. And Sanchez is a great proponent or great speaker of Don Juan and all of those practices, and Don Carlos Castaneda. And Datura was one of the big things in Castaneda's works. So I'm not sure why he has not come across the ritual use of Datura in over 20 years of practice. Just doesn't make any sense. There was this particular quote that I enjoyed. He talks about good spirits and bad spirits, but the balance between them. Says it is important for you to realize that all of the spirits you have been working with and learning about the last few months are good spirits. They are the spirits that nurture, protect, and give life. But now it's time for you to learn about the other kinds of spirits, the kinds that make beings sick, conjure bad fortune, and kill. But let me be clear, these spirits are not evil unto themselves. Death is not evil, just as sickness is not evil. They are both simply situations of life. The reason that some of these spirits are called evil is because witches with wrong intent use them to harm for their good, their own good, and that is evil. I thought that was a brilliant, brilliant quote. It speaks about the balance of things. You know, we talk about these aspects of good and evil, or good and bad, and black and white, and all of these things, and we kind of create this tension between them and try to pull them apart, but they're all part of the same process. You know, they're all part of life and death, construction, destruction, and all such things, and they're all necessary things within life. We have the things that create life, we have the things that destroy life. That's just part of nature. It's going to happen. There's no getting around it. So I thought that was a great quote. There was another one. I just want to make sure I get the right page, because for some reason my bookmark is not working properly. Let's go over to 121. Here I want this. This is not a matter of faith or belief, James, Florinda said, as if reading my mind. This concerns tangible energy and forces that can be manipulated, even directed by evil people. As I said, death and sickness are not evil. They are simply facts of life. However, intentional murder, rape, or torture among human beings is the result of imbalance. We can call these imbalances spirits because we have no other name for them, but they can be named and they do exist. Great, 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 great quote. So, as I said, I mean, there's some kind of, it's definitely an interesting story. I definitely recommend reading the book. If you are interested in this stuff, it is incredibly interesting. You know, interesting to read about from this perspective, this point of view, and the experiences themselves. But not a lot of practicality you can take from this book to apply to your own practice. It may give you some inspiration. And just, you know, between the terminology used, it did make me question a little bit. But at the same time, there are things like this, quotes like this, that really do speak volumes. I definitely recommend the book. Great book. I did enjoy it. Just, take with a pinch of salt type of thing. All right, so let's have a look at Advanced Shamanism. Okay, so this is the book, Advanced Shamanism. Now, I'm not really going to go through too much of this. I will go through the contents, if I can get to it. So look. Here we go. Now, this is very much a practical book. There's exercises in this. I think there's 40 exercises or 52 or something. And it's very interesting. Now, James Andretti, speaks about shamanism, but also applies things like quantum physics. As you can see here, he goes into psi and shamanism. He goes into hyperspace holographic fields and phase conjugate mirrors, or PC mirrors. He goes into some quantum physics, some quantum mechanics, very much modern applications of spirituality, of ESP, explorations and testing and things like that. He goes into lucid dreaming, which is obviously a part of, dreaming is a big part of shamanism, moving between the worlds, having one foot in both worlds type of thing. Again, mastering the dream, coming back into dreams, autogenic training, AT. So he goes into a lot of modern terminology, modern use of things, and applies kind of bridges between that and shamanic practices. Shamanic practices for quantum healing, and then goes into cleaning the holographic field, extraction of the holographic field, and face people, PC mirrors. trying to say that again, get tongue tied. A very practical book, a brilliant book. Oh, let's see. Oh, there's 38 practices themselves, and then it goes into the appendices. But a couple things I would note. The From a positive aspect, the lessons, the practices themselves are very well structured, taking you from point A to point B type of thing. They're extremely well structured, and they do have a great progression through them. The explanations are brilliant. The parallels, paralleling the idea of shamanic ideas through to modern ideas, as I said, like the holographic fields and such things. But they're all great. From a, I can't even really say negative point of view, it's not really a negative point of view. But what you will find, if you have read enough books on this topic, like I have, and done various practices yourself, you are going to recognize everything in this book. It has not been not written. He does try to avoid things like, where Michael Harner made the mistake of creating core shamanism. He does try and avoid that. When he speaks about moving into the underworld to, meet your spirit guide and things like that, he doesn't take the normal approach that Michael Harner did within core shamanism, or Sandra Ingerman, or anybody like that, where you are taking a shamanic journey into a hole, and you then move down into, and you come out into a landscape, etc., etc., etc. He actually goes specifically into doing dreaming and lucid dreaming, getting into shamanic trance and such things. Which is why he starts so early with the shamanic dreamscape. He goes into the Chikara, which, and then into the Teka, which is healing stones. So you take various stones and you apply various energies and things to them. So there are some interesting practices that you can go through that you might not have heard of before. But when it comes to the shamanic landscape, it's all about dreaming in the book. And the one thing I found that I think comes up in every single application of shamanism, and again, I'm using the term shamanism in a general idea here, covering from the European down to what people are referring to as being the Native American. But as I said at the beginning, can't really call this shamans. Don't like to call them shamans themselves, shamans nowadays. But covering that whole base, the one thing that always comes up is soul retrieval, susto. That's not spoken about at all in this book, which kind of I couldn't quite figure out why. And another thing that I found very interesting was the practice number 5, shamanic death and rebirth. This is the actual practice of burying yourself in the ground. Now, if you do not have somebody with you who can actually go through this with, or not really go through it with you, but actually sit the entire night and watch and make sure that you are safe and okay, don't do this. This is not a practice you do by yourself. This is literally burying yourself into the ground, into the earth, and going through a whole death and rebirth process. And it's a fantastic practice. It really is. It's brilliant. I definitely wouldn't put it this early in. This can cause a lot of parapsychological damage, huge damage, especially that early on. I mean, okay, so the book's called Advanced Shamanism, which means you probably should have gotten to a specific point before you actually go and do this, But one of those points would have been lucid dreaming and actually doing dreaming before you go and do that stuff. In, dreaming in some kind of fashion, whether it is actual astral projection and lucid dreaming while you're asleep, or whether it is doing, walking in the spirit vision or doing shamanic journeying or something like that in a meditative state. There's a lot of areas here, but I definitely wouldn't put that practice so early before you've even started exploring dreaming itself and lucid dreaming. That process that the process just doesn't make much sense to me. But again, interesting book to read. It's got some brilliant practices, some great brilliant explanations of things, and to help you understand further understand specific concepts. So yeah, it is a book I would also recommend reading, but again, take with a grain of salt. Okay, so I'm going to leave that there this week or this month with the book review, and I do thank I can't remember who recommended it. But I do thank you for recommending it. It was a very interesting book, and Datura holds a very close place in my own heart. I've had a long history with Datura, not consumption of it. I have not done that. But the spirit of Datura, the lady, the Red Lady, I've got a long history with her, and it's a very interesting one. So this was a very interesting book to read. Okay. And I'm going to leave that there today. I have all the links to the books are in the little eye icon somewhere in one of these corners, and also in the description below if you would like to hop onto Amazon and purchase those books from there. And do thank you if you do. If you get the paperbacks, I get a small commission, which helps me to buy more books so I can review more books. Okay. Have a good one for now, and see you next time. Cheers. Bye bye.